Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
Bears-Panthers coming up on Sunday. By the way, the Astros won, so they extend that series. Good for Dusty Baker. Good for those cheating Astros. Damn it. Let's talk about this Bears-Panthers matchup we've got here. The number keeps going down on the point spread. So throughout much of the week, it was about 2.5. And so what's happened is some sharp slash respected money has come in on the market in this matchup here. And they keep betting the Bears. And the number keeps going down. It's down to 1.5. And the total is 44.5. Not a big shocker there. One of the lowest totals of the entire week of the NFL Week 6 card. However many games there are. I don't know if we're going to see Falcons, Vikings. If you would have asked me about 7 a.m. this morning, I would have told you there's no way that there's going to be a Falcons-Vikings game. And I was thinking back to 2.5 weeks ago when you had A.J. Terrell test positive for coronavirus, and then the Bears were on the field against that team the next day, right? And Terrell was at team practice on Friday, and nobody else got it. But I guess now it's just an assistant coach. That's all we've heard so far. But yeah, the NFL is going to have issues every single week. You do have to wonder, is it just going to get to a point where they've got to go to a bubble? But then it sounds like they don't have anything planned. Feels like we're past that point. I don't know what college football is doing here. Two SEC games have been postponed already this week. And the Big Ten starting next week. Okay, no break in the schedule too. So if a game gets postponed, it gets canceled? They really messed that thing up. If you're going to play, play. Don't wait around. It's going to be a messy situation for the Big Ten. And I don't see any way, even probably half the league, finishes out that already a limited schedule. It'll be interesting to monitor. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Rick Camp alerted me to this. So let's take a listen to Ted Monachino, Bears assistant coach. And he was talking about how they're going to use Robert Quinn, the 5-year, $70 million man, $30 million guaranteed. Here's Monachino with the media yesterday.
Well, we know where he plays best, Pat, so we're going to try to keep his numbers around that number. It's somewhere just north of half the snaps. That's where we're trying to keep him. There are times in the game when he needs to be out there regardless of situation, and those are the times that we use him in those roles. But we also know that his dominant trait is rushing the passer. We want to give him as many opportunities to do that as he can. But yeah, we are keeping very close track of his rep count and trying to keep him as fresh as we can. So if we do run into 2-minute situations at the end of the game, he and Khalil both are as fresh as possible.
Yeah. And it's funny. There weren't a lot of people upset about this signing at the time, but you know, Leonard Floyd can do this. What we've seen out of Quinn, little over a quarter of the season, Leonard Floyd could have done this. You have to think about it when you see an edge rusher now on team number, what, 1, 2, 3, team 4 in 4 years, and he has a breakout 11.5 sack season, and you think he's going to repeat this at this time? Maybe he does. He'd have to really turn it on right now. And he's playing opposite Khalil Mack, and now the coaches are saying, yeah, we got to limit those snaps. Only put him out there in great in positions to succeed. That's not what you're supposed to get from $30 million guaranteed. You're expect a big-time performance all game from him. Well, Robert Quinn talked to the media today, and he responded about the idea of limited snaps.
I mean, what's my ideal playing time? I mean,
yeah, for you to be most effective.
Well, whenever I'm out there, I should be effective. At least that's my mindset, no matter how many snaps. So, I mean, the rotation's been working fine. I mean, you see our team record. So, I mean, you can't really complain about that.
2 tackles, 1 sack for Robert Quinn. I don't think anybody can argue that he's been a big disappointment. Now, the thing is, the defense overall has been very strong. And you look at that secondary and some of the numbers and just look at the offenses that they've gone against, some pretty good offenses. They've done a nice job. That's why they're winning games. So when you look at this Bears team and they have the 4-1 record, and there's nobody that's going to say they're a top 5 team. Most would say that they're not a top 10 team right now. Well, you're lucky because you're winning 4 out of 5 games. You're going these long stretches and you're not scoring any points. Okay. That's fair. It is pretty amazing that they have a 4-1 record and they're going like a half a game at a time and they're not putting up points. They're not getting into the end zone. It's pretty amazing. I think what the lucky part, though, is that, one, Matt Nagy found a way to bench Mitch Trubisky without losing a game. And the other lucky part is that the offenses you're going against and the secondary has been terrific. I mean, they got a player in Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller, playing like the Kyle Fuller we know. But it is lucky that they have not faced Galladay, the Detroit game, Julio Jones in the Atlanta game, and Chris Godwin last week. Those are 3 premier threats on the outside. And they just happen to miss all of them. Not taking any credit away from them for those wins, but if there's something that's going to qualify as lucky, it's that. They put up those points. Enough points to win the games. And the defense has been winning these contests because of some of the red zone stops. And we all know that's the big strength of the team. I mean, we can also have that conversation about Jimmy Graham when people are laughing about at Ryan Pace for making that signing and probably overpaying, okay. But he's done exactly what they were hoping. He's been a big red zone threat for them. So Bears-Panthers this weekend, what it feels like to me, as a guy that covers the sports betting side of things, it feels like to me that the Bears have not been credited with their 4 wins. A lot of people are still looking at the team, they're maybe a 500 team at best, and they're not that good. And they're not getting the credit for winning 4 out of 5 games. Conversely, the Panthers are getting a ton of credit for winning 3 games in a row, and it's not like they're blowing anybody away. They handled Atlanta, but it was still just a 1-score game. That's how most of their games have been. They're going to grind it out. I expect it to be a very close game, very close. And there has been some luck, and I would venture to guess that if you look over the schedule for most teams that have a surprisingly good record, that there is a lot of luck involved. There is some of that. And the strength of the team is on defense. It's not on offense. We're all there. And Matt Nagy agrees with you. He is very frustrated with the offense, and he should be. Because at times I'm like, oh, is this a Dan Quinn situation? He's built up as a defensive guru, Quinn was. And Nagy's the offensive guru. Quinn's team, when he was the head coach of the Falcons, couldn't stop anybody. And Nagy's team can't score any points. And he's the offensive guru. So what sense does that make? What exactly do you do here? The loss of James Daniels could hurt. It's going to hurt. But the question is how much. The big help for the Bears here is... here's something that could qualify as lucky, but it's also the National Football League. It happens on a regular basis. Every Friday, what is the final injury report? Panthers don't have a strong defense as it is, and now they're missing a lot of guys. They put defensive tackle Kawan Short on injured reserve today. Brian Burns was limited in practice. Don't know if he's going to return. Gross Matos, he has not practiced this week. They're missing a bunch of guys. I love what they're building over there with Matt Rhule as the head coach and Joe Brady, the offensive mastermind over there. Teddy Bridgewater, respectable, beat the Bears last year. Much different roster with the Saints. But are they really going to win four games in a row? It could be. It's a fair point spread, I think, at 1.5. That makes more sense than the 3 that was going on, but and the, what they call the look-ahead line. Before Sunday's games were played. At 4-1, should the Bears really be a 3-point underdog to the Carolina Panthers? Also a surprise? It really feels like the market just doesn't want to give respect to the Bears. Like they haven't earned these victories in their mind. And there's been way too much luck involved. So they're grading them at about as an average team. Which I don't think is quite fair. So if you really break it down. So you give... such little for home field advantage this year. Maybe a point. Maybe. Because of travel. All that stuff involved. But it's not like it is most years. Not an intimidating atmosphere at all. Don't have to deal with the noise. So communication on the field is much easier. So they're kind of saying that the Bears and Panthers are equal. Maybe. I would lean to the Bears here, that they're a little bit better than the Panthers at this stage. Now, a year or two from now, I'm guessing that I won't be agreeing with that. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Rick Camp, my executive producer. Rick, what do you find most intriguing about this game this weekend?
One thing that I feel like hasn't gotten a ton of play, and it was mentioned at Halas Hall today, is... the fact that the Bears have faced a lot of your bigger, more physical receivers that aren't necessarily as speed-based. Okay. And when you look at Kyle Fuller and Jalen Johnson, you know, they're bigger dudes that like to be physical. So while, you know, they were able to avoid a guy like Julio Jones and a guy like Chris Godwin, I find it interesting that the style of receiver that Carolina runs out there is completely different. Because... Robbie Anderson has been a revelation because, hey, you get away from Adam Gase and you might not suck anymore. Imagine that.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill. Funny how that works. We'll see how, you know, Le'Veon Bell, I'm sure, is going to do some things for Kansas City. And
not to throw you off track, Rick, yeah. But I couldn't help but think about this with what's going on with the Jets. They're clearly tanking. Adam Gase is a complete disaster. I couldn't help but think about when John Fox was here,
mm-hmm.
Just how people looked at Gase like, oh, he's the savior. He's the only guy that can fix Cutler. And now look at him. He's legitimately the worst head coach in the NFL.
Remember when everybody wanted to fire? Now, mind you, Fox still was bad.
Fire Fox, keep Gase instead.
Yep.
They let the wrong guy walk out of the building. Right.
Right. It was just a matter of time for both of those guys. But when you look at what Robbie Anderson has done so far, being more than just, you know, a guy running some 9 routes, and still DJ Moore hasn't produced as much, but with the quality of receiver he is, and then to have Curtis Samuel as your 3, those are 3 really fast, good after the catch receivers, and they've been getting the ball out real quick. So Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, no matter how many snaps he's out there, I don't know how often they're going to even have an opportunity to get to the quarterback. And then how is the Bears back seven going to deal with just a much faster receiver core? Because really the only top notch or even close to top notch speed guy they faced this year was Calvin Ridley. And he went for 5 and 110 against him. And you can go back to last year, even though it's not a perfect comp, Emmanuel Sanders, fast guy. He had over 100 yards and a score. Terry McLaurin and Paul Richardson had that. And that's outside of guys that are, you know, just your elite dudes that are going to get their yards against anybody.
Okay, so I was looking at these matchups with the Panthers, and I was more concerned about the run game. And you're more concerned about the receivers, what the receivers are going to be able to do, that you could see them having some success just because of the different style. Like I was thinking about, well, one, maybe it's a little narrative-based, but the whole Mike Davis factor, Bears didn't want him, and look what he's doing. They have a better offense with Mike Davis in the backfield than Christian McCaffrey. Running backs are interchangeable. Yeah, those people are getting a lot of ammunition right now. But when you look at the numbers, at times the Bears defense has been gashed. And I was looking at this last night. The Bears defense, second worst in the NFL in explosive run rate. We've seen them get gashed. Now, overall, at the end of the game, you might look at it and say, okay, they didn't give up that many rushing yards. But they're giving up some yards in chunks. And I could see I'm more worried about Davis having a big game, and you're thinking about those speed receivers.
Yeah, because I think part of it for me is the combo of the Bears have been able to be a really good defense because they've been so elite against the pass and been that bad against the run. Well, if you even go down from being elite against the pass to average against the pass, if not slightly worse than that, for this one game, you have to be stout against the run to stop Carolina from putting up more points than your offense has been capable of putting up so far. It's just that the Bears defense has so little wiggle room with how the offense has been performing that maybe through minimal fault of their own, I wonder, you know, if they get a little bit closer to that breaking point against a team that's not necessarily that great. Like, this was a lot of people thought they might have been one of the worst teams in football this year.
I think we've realized they're average. They're average, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good for them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're an average team, and they're just, while I don't know how those matchups are necessarily going to work, and at least in this town, I don't know that enough has been given to the receiving options just because of the Mike Davis narrative and how his tenure in Chicago went.
Okay, you have me thinking about this a little bit here, because you're right. People aren't paying enough attention. I think there are a lot of people that don't even know Robbie Anderson is on the Panthers. If we're being real about it. But three of the last four games, he's had double-digit targets. Three of the last four, he's had at least 8 grabs. They're going to go to him. He's had 99 plus yards in 4 of 5 games this year. So is Anderson your bigger concern, or just the entire group?
Probably Anderson, but I guess maybe I've always been a DJ Moore guy because I like the receivers that are maybe a little shorter, but more stout, that are really good after the catch. And DJ Moore had a breakout year a couple of years ago, and he was really good last year. But this year, I think the role that we all expected DJ Moore to have, Robbie Anderson has had. But DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, while Samuel hasn't been that great, those are two guys that are dynamic with the ball in their hands. So
once we could see some scoring. This is wild, because as we're going over this and thinking this through about the different matchups and all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball for the Panthers, Rick, even though this is one of the lowest game, totals of the week, rather, I think there's a possibility to see some scoring here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's 100% a possibility. Now, it's also very possible that the Bears defense is just really damn good. And I think what's going to be interesting is with all the short routes that Carolina runs, it's going to be not even as much on the corners as how aggressive are the safeties, Are they just going to say, Teddy Bridgewater, we know you can kind of throw deep, but we don't necessarily trust your arm? And it's going to be on those inside linebackers again, because Roquan Smith, while he got juked out a couple times in the run game, was a little better in the pass game. He's been pretty solid so far in the year in that regard. So are they able to take away some of those crossers and some of those shorter routes and at least make Teddy Bridgewater hold on to the ball for an extra half count so that maybe the pass rush can get there? I don't know.
Okay. Receptions for Robbie Anderson. If you did points betting, you have to pick six, go above six. He could absolutely go above six. If you did yards, 76.
The thing that I don't know and haven't looked close enough at is do him and DJ Moore, do they stay to one side? Are they normally each on one side, or are they moving around all the time? Because the Bears' corners, notoriously, they stay on their sides. So is it going to be an opportunity where it's just, all right, for this game plan, Robbie Anderson, you're going to be on Jalen Johnson's side all game. And just keep going at him and keep trying to avoid Kyle Fuller. And at that point, how are the Bears deploying Eddie Jackson? Are they giving Anderson that respect, or are they still just saying, we'll just kind of do our thing and see how it goes and maybe adjust from there, when Robbie Anderson can either get a big play or, if nothing else, just do a little bit of damage?
Would you take Joe Brady or Matt Nagy?
Can I take Matt
Rhule? You're hesitating. I was just looking at the offensive minds in the game.
Okay.
But I
thought you meant like as your head coach. I'm like, that's kind of ballsy.
No. I'm just talking about scheming up some points here. I think you would definitely take Brady over Nagy at this point with the sample size of 2.5 years. What do you have with Nagy?
Right.
But actually, it's longer than that. But yeah, you don't have the talent with Kansas City and look at them. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be exciting. I think there are a lot of Bears fans that haven't been paying close attention to what's going on with the Panthers. But there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. You start to see with what Matt Rhule is doing there, why people are so high on them, that you're buying Matt Rhule stock. I don't think they're going to win the division this year, but look at them next year or a couple years from now as Drew Brees is getting out of the game. And Falcons, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to start over. That's probably going to take some time. They have that high-end talent, but they don't have that depth. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in that division for years to come. I mean, you're either good and you're ancient, like the teams and the top two teams that people are looking at in the division. I'd rather be the Panthers for the next 5 years.
Yeah, and for everybody that didn't pay attention to the draft as much, they spent literally every pick on defense. When they bring in the offensive mind and Joe Brady and bring in Matt Rhule, they spent literally every pick on defense. And the fact that it's been performing at all, like, I think that's part of the reason we all kind of expected Carolina to really suck this year, is because it's no fault of their own. They just have a bunch of rookies that are going to be getting a lot of snaps. So naturally things are going to happen. That's not going to be great, but at least to this point, maybe now that there's more tape out there, they'll get figured out with time, but they've just impressed considering what they've had. And I think part of the reason you mentioned that Carolina's been getting so much pub for their record, even though they haven't beaten anybody great, is the fact that they've done it without McCaffrey. And just like that fact of it.
Running backs don't matter, man. Sorry, they don't. He's one of the best. They don't matter. it's just where we're at. It is. But I wouldn't mind an upgrade over David Montgomery. That's the offensive line. Sorry, David. Coming up next, Rick Camp, my executive producer tonight. Rick, I've got a couple fat questions that I need you to answer. There was quite the controversy because I'm making fun of the I'm Fat podcast. I need to clear things up. I am not making fun of the I'm Fat podcast. We will address that next. I'm Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score in the radio.com app. I almost said another word, which I could say at radio.com, but not here at 670 The Score. Joe Ostrowski with you. Thanks for hanging out this Thursday evening. It is weird. We don't have football on right now. supposed to be Thursday night football, but I bet it's not going to be the last time that we're going to get it postponed. Yeah, we're supposed to be enjoying an NFL game right now, but instead, we're paying attention to the baseball. The Astros win earlier tonight. I'm not happy about that. And right now, the Dodgers and Braves are tied at one in the bottom of the fifth inning there. So there you go. All right, Rick, need to clear something up. I thought it was quite humorous that some random person on Twitter thought that Shane Reardon was on the I'm Fat podcast. I believe they thought it was Shane instead of you because they addressed Zawoski. And Shane, like, no, I'm not on that show. And I was just joking around and said, oh, I thought you were on that show and you designed the T-shirts. And Jay, I think Jay didn't like that comment. He thought I was making fun of you guys. I'm not making fun of you guys, by the way. I think the T-shirts are hilarious. In fact, I meant to ask you about which one I should get.
It depends on if you like to wear lighter colors or darker colors, probably. Because the way they're set up now is like my favorite design is the French fry logo, like the generic French fry logo that you get on any like bag of fries. You'll get it like a Vienna beef shop or something.
Did you have to get that approved to be able to use that? Or how do you even find that kind of stuff out? Like the same thing for the image of Italy, which is on every or most pizza boxes in the city of Chicago. Did you have to go anywhere or check anything to see if,
I mean, that's more Jay's. That's more Jay's purview than mine.
Yeah, pass the buck. Yeah, pass the buck, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, I produce him. He takes care of all that
stuff. Who are you, Eli Herskovich? Nothing's your fault.
For sure. But no, like, I don't think we did. Nobody's called and said anything to us. So as far as I know, we're good to go. And I guess if that many places are using it, that everybody recognizes it, we're probably in the clear.
Which ones do you wear?
I just got in the mail yesterday the French fry logo in like a cream colored shirt because fats should avoid white shirts at all costs.
I was surprised you guys have white. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think we're talking with the designers about
Jesus.
Well, because it's the people at Tee Public are really great with helping us out with that stuff. But essentially, whatever color you get it in, the potato is that color. Like it's not like set to be white no matter what shirt color you get. So you almost have to go with a light color. But the other one I got is like not quite black, more of like a charcoal of just the I'm Fat podcast logo with the cheeseburger on it.
Okay, I promised earlier that I would give out my I'm Fat podcast T-shirt power rankings.
Oh, dude.
Eventually, Rick, you'll have to give your part-time producer power rankings like I made some people in the past do, and now they no longer work here. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. But we haven't even talked about number one here. It's a no-doubter for me. Just because of the creativity, and it is a shirt I would wear, and not because it says the I'm Fat podcast really small, but I'm a big fan of the 0.0. Those people that have the marathon stickers or the half marathon stickers, 13.1, 26.2, the back of their cars. You guys have a black shirt, and in the middle there's a white logo, and it says 0.0, the I'm Fat podcast. I think that's genius.
It really is good. When Jay showed me that, I was like, man, favorite. I wish I had thought of that myself.
That was a Zawoski thing?
Yeah. So, like, all the credit to Jay for that one. But if I may, for a second, also, you can go to the I'm Fat podcast Twitter account. We have a link tree. You can go to our merch. It's like 30% off right now.
I need to get one of those link trees.
Code I'm Fat. So you can get these shirts for like $13.
Promo code I'm Fat.
Hey, we lean in. We know what we are. We lean into it.
I understand. It's just funny that that's what they have to type so they get the money off. Number two in the power rankings, I'd go with the pizza box. Nothing against my man, the little French fry logo, but it's just a standard.
It really is.
And all of us just grew up with it. I think that's what it is. No matter which pizza place you went to for the thin crust, even though some outsiders think all we do is eat deep dish.
Ridiculous.
Oh, you like stuffed pizza, Bruce Bochy? That Chicago pizza, the lasagna. Yeah, we get it.
Right. We get it. You think it's a casserole. Cool.
Too bad most of us have the thin crust anyways. But anyways. Yeah, number two in the power rankings is the Pizza Box. Italy there. Delicious. I'm Fat Podcast on there. Three, I'd go with the French fry. And four, I'd go with the hamburger. Because I don't know that I could wear a shirt that says Rick Camp and Jay Zawoski on it.
That's fair. Is it like the same as Herb's jersey thing where you can't wear another man's name?
No, also I don't wear a lot of red shirts.
Well, you can get that with any color.
Okay. I like the others more. I'm not trying to criticize it. Which one is your best seller so far?
I don't have the numbers. Once again, that's a Jay thing. But I feel from the interaction we've gotten on social media,
yeah,
it's been the Fry logo the most. I think where that one shines the best is on a mug. Because you can get these in stickers, in mugs, all that kind of thing. So someone posted the picture of a white mug with the Fry logo on it, and it legitimately looks great.
Okay. I believe you. I'm going to have to get one of those so I can use it for the video component of Bet Sweats in the morning. So I'll make sure that gets on there.
Is that a radio.com original by chance?
Yeah, I don't say that. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Eli says that. I guess it is. I guess it's where we broadcast from. The how about that Eli golf swing, man?
Dude. That if I could have guessed, like
so
that's
you
even
can
worse.
Do better, right? Like you make fun of yourself, say you're unathletic and you're like, hey, I'm a fat, all that stuff. But you could absolutely do better, right?
Yes, I can get the club above my shoulders.
If you got it above your hip, you'd be doing better.
True. Yeah, that was like, when I saw Eli golf swing, I figured it would be at least a little better than that.
The gall to say, that'll play.
In what or where? Is my question.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's posted on Eli Hershkovich's Twitter page. It's on my Twitter page, at Joe0670. And we made a video on the show today making fun of him. We've been getting some legs out of that thing, just ripping on him all week.
Like, I love that
Ross,
no matter who
Ross lost it.
No matter
Ross
who your co-host
he said,
is.
All of our producers are a bunch of losers.
Yeah, no matter who your co-host is, Eli is 100% the target, as he should be, and it's great.
Yeah, well, that should be the case. It's funny you say that, because when I would do shows with Nick Costos, he would say that I was much worse to Eli. But I would disagree with that. I think I'm a very kind man. controversy last night. Sorry, I just saw Mitch's text. So I was distracted for a second. Controversy last night on the show. Jordan Malley was producing. And I need your I'm fat take. His hot piping opinion was breakfast is bad. All breakfast. Not interested. Doesn't want to eat in the morning. Jordan Malley, breakfast bad. What is your response?
I'm not a breakfast bad. I don't eat breakfast every day. I'm not as big of a breakfast person as most. However, to say breakfast is bad is ridiculous. For me, in the morning, like I have my couple cereals that I'll kind of rotate through. The Aldi Captain Crunch, or not Captain Crunch, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is right there for me. Or Honeycomb.
Did you say the Aldi?
Yeah, the Aldi brand one.
I understand.
With like the
what's it called?
I think it's like cinnamon sugar squares or something like that.
I love those off brands. It's the best.
Yeah, it's like what can be not the exact description, but almost sound like a name as well.
Yeah. But, so cereal, really? I haven't had cereal in like a decade.
Well, it's probably also because I am fully incompetent in the kitchen. So outside of toast.
I can't believe you like kind of agree with this. Like, I'm thinking of a good omelet. I'm thinking of French toast, bacon, sausage. Like, opinion that breakfast is bad is just so off base.
Well, I agree that it's that it's off base. I just also know my limitations, and that like I can't make
you
a lot
can't
of those
flip
things.
Bacon? You can't flip sausage?
We've also had an issue since we moved into our condo with our oven. So we've been like touch and go with actually having an oven that we can use. So everything has been either like air fryer, microwave, toaster. So that's limited
donuts,
us a little
right?
bit.
Donuts, man. Come on now. I'm very disappointed. Okay, what my wife uses the air fryer all the time. I never use it.
It's great. What
do you like to make in there? Yeah.
Pizza rolls.
I can see that.
The pizza rolls are fantastic because you get the right amount of heat in there, but it also stays crispy, which is always the problem if you try and put them in the microwave. And then in the oven, it says to put them in there for like 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. For me, it's 7 or 8 minutes in the air fryer and you're
quicker.
Golden.
Yeah. My son gets my wife to make him fries in there all the time. Pizza puffs must be glorious out of there.
I have not gotten there yet. Oh, I actually, with living in Lombard and still doing for less than a couple years, I'm still doing my, you know, the route of trying to find all the different places and they're the more hole in the wall restaurants. I had a pizza puff from a Vienna beef stand. I hadn't had one in forever and I should have texted Barry because man, the pizza puff is great. And it's just something I don't think about enough, probably because I have enough standard, you know, regular pizza as is.
Have you ever had 6 of them like Shane?
No.
Have you ever eaten dog food like Shane?
I was just going to say that if you didn't.
That's an honest mistake. I understand why that score listener on Twitter thought that he was on the Unfit podcast. Because I forgot what time limit we gave. Maybe it was an hour. Of him trying to eat 6 pizza puffs while I was doing a show on the air with Barry. And then, oh, dog food? Sure, I'll eat it.
Even Jay and I were like, no, we're good.
On the dog food or the pizza puff?
The dog food.
Have you ever done like one of those contests where you try to eat so much food in a limited amount of time?
I haven't really. I'm more, when it comes to food eating, I'm more of a closer to a distance runner where if you give me more food than in a challenge, but give me more time to eat it, I'm more likely to do that than something in a half hour or something like that.
Yeah.
If I'm able to graze over a few hours, I can get a lot more accomplished.
I gotcha. That's a recap. My name is Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670 The Score. Coming up next, I guess we're doing a countdown, sort of, if you're really into the Big Ten play. But I think the whole thing's a mess. We're seeing it again this week. We've got SEC games postponed. It's been going on every week, and none of us should be shocked by it. But the Big Ten backed themselves in their own corner. So now they're finally playing starting next week instead of this week. Okay, you made the decision to play. Okay, fine. We'll see how it works. But based on their schedule, there's absolutely no wiggle room. And this morning on BetSweats, we got some details about how it's going to work once they have these postponements. I don't think there's any way they finish the season if they want to keep the Big Ten championship game on schedule. I don't see how it happens. We'll get to that next. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got 670 The Score and the Radio.com app. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670 The Score. So the Big Ten college football season starts next Friday with Illinois, Wisconsin. Almost every single Friday they're going to have a game, then your full slate of games on every Saturday. 8 games, conference only. They're going to play every single week. There aren't any buys in here, so there's absolutely no wiggle room once the Big Ten starts to deal with postponements like every other conference playing has been dealing with so far. Now, you understand the SEC, different areas, more hotspots with Florida, Texas, some of these areas that are involved, but the point still stands. It's a college campus. kids are not wearing masks. I saw it this weekend in South Bend. They're having drinking games. They're still going to be kids, and I'm not blaming them. I'm not trying to shame them on that. But you're going to have positive tests. According to all reports, Nick Saban was doing everything right, and he still got it. And so did the athletic director down at Alabama. So this morning on Bet Sweats, it's my weekday show, 9 to 11 a.m. with NFL analyst Ross Tucker. We have Brett McMurphy on, college football insider for Stadium. And I asked him about the Big Ten in particular and some of these other conferences about to start. Like, we've got MACtion and Pac-12 around the corner as well. Like, with the schedules they've made here, how are they going to navigate these seasons with likely postponements when there isn't any wiggle room?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Big Ten. And look, I hope all these games get in. I hope we, you know, have a college football playoff and all that stuff. But you look at the challenges that the Big 12 has had, that the ACC has had, that the SEC currently has had. They've got built-in dates where they can reschedule these games. The Big 10 and the Pac-12 does not. The Big 10 is going to play 9 consecutive weeks starting next week. The Pac-12 is going to play 7 consecutive weeks starting the first week in November. The Big 10, their requirements, if you test positive, you're out 21 days. Okay, I talked to a coach yesterday. He said, look, you got a kid that's out 2 weeks. It's going to take another week for them to get back in game shape. You're out for 3 weeks. It's going to take a week to 10 days. So if you have a kid test positive, he's basically out half the season. And so how will that impact those Big Ten schools? And if you have a postponement in the Big Ten or the Pac-12, it's not a postponement. It's a cancellation because there's nowhere to reschedule that game because they're playing consecutive weeks leading into the conference championship, and then the following weeks is the college football playoff. So, look, I hope they can pull it off. It's going to be very difficult, but just looking at what's happening with these other conferences, I think it's unlikely that either one of those leagues goes through the whole season without having some games canceled. And obviously that will impact who wins the league, because the league is based on if there's no head-to-head, it's winning percentage. So a team that's 7-1 would get in over a team that's 6-1. And even though you could argue that maybe the 6-1 team is better than the 7-1 team, the 7-1 team is a better winning percentage.
Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium this morning on my show Bet Sweats on radio.com sports. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend if they're into sports betting at all. And if you could tell right there, it isn't just all sports betting. We're just talking sports in general. A lot of NFL and college football this time of year. Big Ten Champions Week championship game, East versus West. It is slated for December 19th. As always, week before that, you have Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Northwestern. I hope they can get through it. But like with the NFL and in the SEC, some of these other conferences, there are going to be changes to the schedule. And then what are they going to do? Are they going to have the ability to push any of this stuff back? Or you're just going to start canceling the games, like Brett McMurphy was talking about there, and then you're going on winning percentage. Interesting. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score, coming up next. The Score Rewind Hour on 670, The Score, and the radio.com app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.